It's Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day as we flip the script, or turning the page, actually, onto week three as the Cardinals welcome the Detroit Lions. Yes, another season, another game against the lowly Detroit Lions. We're going to start breaking this contest down. Cardinals are 2-0, first time since 2015. This season, get football in your time with NFL Game Pass. See all the action from every game with full game replays. You can also replay the entire game and catch all the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. Is Locked On Cardinals. Give the podcast a follow on Twitter at LockedOnAZCards. Follow your hosts. I'm Bo Brock. Follow me at Bob Rack. Follow Alex Clancy at Clancy's Corner. If you want to see a major market radio host get body bagged on Twitter, make sure you're following all of those Twitter accounts.
Body bagged my ass.
Oh, come on. You didn't hold up very well. On Tuesday's podcast, Alex had quite a bold take. He said that Kyler Murray was more elusive than 2019 NFL MVP Lamar Jackson, who had 1,200 yards rushing last season, a record for quarterbacks. He was very bold with that take. I understand the context in which you were talking about. It was put out there in a tweet from Locked On AZ Cards, and then Ravens fans attacked. If you want to see those tweets, if you want to see that back and forth, if you want to see Alex Clancy murdered on social media, check out at Locked On AZ Cards.
The definition of elusive is difficult to find, catch, or achieve. Let's remove the achieve part. Let's remove the latter. Difficult to find, difficult to catch. In the stats that I saw on Twitter all over the place, and we're, you know, this will just be a bookend to this conversation.
Okay.
Lamar Jackson is on the top of the list for quarterback hits since he's come into the league. Kyler Murray isn't. Difficult to catch. Kyler Murray doesn't get touched. And we saw through the first 2 weeks when he has his long touchdown runs, defenders are not touching him. He's not big enough to break tackles. So he knows what angles to run in an effort to be outside of the outstretched arms of the defenders. It's a very literal definition of what's happening, but I still hold true. Lamar Jackson is faster. Lamar Jackson is quicker, but Kyler Murray is more elusive. And if you don't know the definition of elusive, you can call me. I will write it out in crayons for you.
We've also got some pretty insane Kyler Murray is really good stats coming your way. Another preposterous stat involving the Detroit Lions. You know, they are not trending in the right direction, which is great news for Arizona Cardinals fans. And then we're going to play a little Cardinals 2-0 fact or fiction. But here are straight, just stone-cold facts. The Arizona Cardinals, as of right now, Alex, are a top 10 defense statistically. Will they end the season as a top 10 defense in the NFL? That's your Locked On Cardinals lead story. So the Arizona Cardinals, 2-0, and they've gotten back-to-back solid performances from this defense, was at the bottom of the league last year in 2019. In 2020, that's a different story. Here are a couple stats for you. The defense, 7th in total yards against, and 2nd least points given up in the NFL. There are a couple more stats out of your way, but Alex, can this team finish in the top 10 in total defense this season?
I don't see why not. I mean, we've seen, just like teams in Bo, I wasn't a believer with this like you were a couple years ago, where you can go from worst to first in one offseason. What the Cardinals have done this offseason, they've raised the floor of their talent level. And that's something we haven't seen in a while. Bring in Devondre Campbell, who seems to be the steal of the offseason on the defensive side, including the draft so far. Bring in Devon Kennard, who had a great 4th-and-goal stop on the goal line against San Francisco in week 1. We see this. We saw it, and I always refer to Robert Saleh, who is the defensive coordinator for the 49ers. He was almost out of a job a couple years ago. 1 year later, he was getting looks for head coaching spots because he finally had talent to work with. And that might be what we're seeing with Vance Joseph. Now, Bo, obviously, they've played 2 offenses that aren't great. But you have to take it 2 deep offenses that aren't great if you want to win games, regardless of if you have more talent on the opposite side of the ball or not. It's a pleasant surprise. And I think they should be able to continue it if they mesh and trust and are instinctual together moving forward.
Yeah, I agree with you. I completely want to piggyback the sentiments as far as the free agent additions, as far as the trio guys, Devondre Campbell, fantastic. Jordan Phillips in the interior of this defense has made a big impact. And then Devon Kennard as far as the pass rush, where they have 7 sacks. And Chandler Jones just has one of those. Chandler Jones was 19 of the 40 sacks from the previous season. We're seeing production outside of number 55 on this defense. I think I want to take this time to take a jab at Bill Barnwell of ESPN.com, who crucified Steve Keim for signing these guys to these creative contracts, I'll say that, in order to deal with the salary cap. And I thought that he crushed Jordan Phillips, he crushed Devondre Campbell, where they've made an impact immediately, and it goes beyond. That's why I don't buy too much into next-gen stats. You know, I mean, sometimes you just don't know how guys are going to mesh and how they're going to play in a new defense. And those guys, in 2 games of the season, have been solid. And I think that, you're right. You're not going up against, just world beaters as far as San Francisco 49ers in that offense. It's not exactly in a good place right now. Washington's going to be near the bottom of the league. As far as being a top 10 defense, it's going to be tough because week 6, Dallas. The next week, Seattle. We've seen 2 of those as one of the more high-powered offenses in the league. You've got to play L.A. 2 more times on your schedule. Another time playing Seattle. Those are some, they can put some points up on you, but at the same token, you've got Carolina, you've got the Jets, you've got Miami, Buffalo. So if the defense can play like it did in weeks 1 and 2, yeah, it could very well end up in the top end of the defenses, especially the top 10 statistically. And when you look at the jump that Philadelphia made to go to the 2017 Super Bowl, it wasn't just Carson Wentz taking that leap in his second season. It was that defense going from like middle of the road to a top 10 defense that could make stops. And if the Arizona Cardinals can indeed make that jump, it's going to be big for this, for the rest of the NFL, because they're going to win a bunch of games.
When we think of Patrick Mahomes and his progression, we think of his rookie or whatever, second year, 50 touchdowns, fantasy football darling, took the world by storm. What do you have, 10 touchdowns in his first 2 weeks? Something crazy like that. The no-look passes, everything. And, you're like, okay, this dude is going to be great. And they didn't make the Super Bowl because their defense sucked. And he was able to cover 99% of it. It was just a matter of D Ford being offsides that kept them from a Super Bowl appearance. The second year, or his third year, when they did make it to the Super Bowl, that defense was top 10 the second half of the season. So it goes unnoticed. They traded for Frank Clark. Even though they got rid of D Ford, they had a piece with Tyrann Mathieu over the top. They had a good defense, and it was a far cry from his first full year as a starter, and it paid immediate dividends. So it gets overlooked, yes, but you're right. They don't have to be great, the Cardinals' defense. They just have to be competent. And the fact that Patrick Peterson isn't missing the first 6 games, even though he hasn't played very well through the first 2, will help. Byron Murphy's second year, Buda Baker looks like he deserves the money at this point. And as you mentioned again, the offseason acquisitions on the defensive side gives Vance Joseph, who is a smart defensive mind, especially with secondaries, a chance to help this offense get the ball back more. And that's really all it comes down to. The defense is there to stop the opposing offense, to give their offense a chance to score more. And the more chances Kyler Murray has to score, the more points they're going to put up, because this offense is ready to explode every week, and the defense just needs to give them the capability to do so more than they did last year.
You're so wise. That's very profound, what you just said. But no, you're exactly right. And not only does it help supplement getting the offense more snaps, more plays, more chances at putting points up on the board, it helps also blood pressure-wise, just watching these games, holding opposing offenses 6-for-23 on converting on third downs, getting the defense off the field, getting opportunities to make plays on special teams, which they've done back-to-back weeks, and getting Kyler Murray and that offense more opportunities. And the pieces are there. The ingredients are there for a solid recipe for a top-10 defense. Can they finish it out. Can they continue this trend? That's going to be big going forward for the Arizona Cardinals. It's Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Please subscribe on Google Podcasts if you haven't already done so, iTunes, and follow along on Spotify. It's Bo Brock. Give me a follow on Twitter, at Bob Brack. Follow Alex Clancy at Clancy's Corner. Follow the show at Locked On AZ Cards. A preposterous stat involving the Cardinals' Week 3 opponent, Detroit Lions. It's next. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays and see all the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game with a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, and Davante Adams, and many more. NFL Game Pass also provides you access to the entire NFL Films archive. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. ESPN released its Week 3 NFL Power Rankings. We'll tell you how high the Arizona Cardinals have climbed after starting the season 2-0. Also, we'll get into a little Arizona Cardinals fact or fiction. Invest in your intuition at mybookie.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, one word, and double your first deposit at mybookie. New players, they get up to $1,000 in free play, designed to add more excitement to sports that you love and the games that you bet. Your winning season begins today, only at MyBookie. Alex, I want to get into it. I saw this, that the Detroit Lions are worse at sealing the deal than you with the opposite sex. They have four straight losses after leading by double digits. Four straight L's when leading by double digits.
Oh, and who's the dumb one that got married? I think we're even, you know? Hey, I think we're even.
I love my wife, okay? I can't blow
I know.
I can't blow a lead with her.
I'm sorry, I love you. This is coaching. This is a dysfunctional foundation for a franchise that's always been dysfunctional. And it's like, go back to Sunday where the Falcons gave up 15-point lead with 4.5 minutes left. I put that more on the players than I do on Dan Quinn. But things like this, first of all, the defense hasn't been good. And trading away Darius Slay and drafting Jeff Okuda thinking he's going to be the save-all anchor to that defense right out of the chute, it's far-fetched. And Matthew Stafford hasn't made it easier on the defense. That's a crazy stat. That's a crazy stat. But you look at it, when you told me that initially, before we started the podcast, it made me think immediately, well, the Cardinals have played two great halves of football. The other two halves were,
yeah,
fine. You know, and it's like, well, I don't know if they're staring their future in the mouth right now if they don't take care of business on the offensive side or what, or defensive side. I don't know where the leak would come from, but the Cardinals have not played an entire game well yet. You know?
Yeah.
So this could be them if they don't take care of business a little bit better.
I think the stat goes deeper than that. Just the past four games. It's head coach Matt Patricia's 7-7-1 all time when leading by double digits. The tie was the 2019 season opener, Kyler Murray's debut. Alex, you were there in person where the Cardinals and Lions nodded at 27-27. I mean, it's like you going to the bar with a $100 bill taped to your forehead and still getting rejected by girls to buy them drinks. It's just like, it's a solid plan. It's poor execution. And it tells me a couple things. It's the Lions, they have the firepower, the talent to lead football games, but no lead is safe for Detroit. And Matt Patricia's game planning skills are solid, but his inability to make in-game adjustments are horrible.
I don't know how it fell off so quickly. It just makes me think, like, does Bill Belichick just not give advice to those guys?
I don't think so. I think as soon as you leave that facility, you're dead to him.
No, but even during. It's like McDaniels failed, but that was kind of, he was too young. He made Lane Kiffin look like a grandfather when he went over and coached Denver. But the Romeo Crennels
and the you know, Matt Patricia's, his coaching tree is malarkey. It's crap. And then you have like a sweetheart like Andy Reid who just breeds great head coaches. So I feel like during it, Bill Belichick is in his ivory tower and he will allow guys to do certain things, but he won't give them the wisdom necessary to take with them to go be a good head coach elsewhere.
Yeah, it is really insane. I mean, you're exactly right. Like the coaching, like who's the most successful coach that's come from the Bill Belichick tree? Is it Bill O'Brien?
Charlie
Weiss?
I mean, for a while, like...
At Notre Dame, that's what you're talking about, right?
Well, before he got the 75-year contract.
Right.
Like, he was so sought after. I mean, he was a guru. And Bill O'Brien, listen, what happened at Penn State was unconscionable, okay? With Sandusky and everything. I'm not comparing this to that by any stretch. Bill O'Brien was the first guy to take that job after. And that, I think, the pedigree that he got for saying, screw it, I'm going, is still giving him more merit as a coach than he is a good head coach.
I agree.
I mean, is that fair?
No, I think that's absolutely fair. I mean, it was a damn near impossible job to get that, to take that program back from basically the dead. And, you know, you can argue, you can have a separate argument about, you know, whether or not they deserve more punishment for what happened because of what you mentioned, the horrible scandal that went down. But no, Bill O'Brien, what he was able to do and then parlay that into becoming the head coach of the Houston Texans and then being able to have the success that they've had previous to their own 0-2 start this season, it's actually pretty impressive, but still, there's no Lombardi trophies in that coaching tree. As you mentioned, like the Mike Holmgren to Andy Reid to all that success it just crushes the Bill Belichick coaching tree. And I don't know if it's just because, yeah, once you leave that facility, he's done with you. If once you're not doing your job for him, he's not helping you, you know, take that stepping stone to the next level. He doesn't care about that. All he cares about is Patriots victory. So it's a fascinating story. You know, I don't know where you can get more information. It's like the only like great relationship he has with the coaches that he's coached with is Saban, and that's because he's at the college level. I think I don't know.
They both don't like talking a lot,
right?
So this worked out nicely for them.
Yeah. So we'll digress. It's Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Cardinals taking on the Detroit Lions in week 3. Where are the Cardinals as far as the NFL power rankings? They're on the rise, plus some stats that tell us that Kyler Murray is really good. We've got them for you coming up next. Are you ready for those stats where we compare Kyler Murray to some really good football players? You've seen this one, right, Alex? More rush yards than Christian McCaffrey. More rushing TDs than Ezekiel Elliott, and more pass touchdown or more pass yards, I should say, than Patrick Mahomes.
Mm. That's good.
It's pretty convenient after 2 weeks. I mean, I get it.
I should have drafted him in fantasy. He was too close to home.
It's tough. It's tough when, especially when you're drafting in Arizona and you're trying to, you know, get some sleeper picks. As far as Arizona Cardinals, you're going to have to grasp a couple rounds ahead for where they're actually going to fall just to get some of those Cardinals in Arizona, I think.
Bo?
Yeah.
Do you think that, and you mentioned this on Twitter, I think it was last Sunday during the game, about the over-under for his rush yards. What was it, 475?
Yeah.
I think that rings a bell, 475. I talked about this earlier in the week. Is this playing with fire? Like, is this something that Cliff might want to kind of curtail a little bit? Maybe have Kyler stay behind the line of scrimmage a little bit more and try to dump down for those yards instead of running himself?
I just don't think so. I mean, we've seen Kyler Murray.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be a killjoy here.
No,
you know?
I know, like, what you mean. I mean,
my God, he's not 6'3". He's not Lamar Jackson.
Right. If he still has, if he has the intuition and the ability to avoid big hits, which at the NFL level is pretty absurd just because of how fast players are coming at you, to be able to slow down and just completely avoid taking a flush hit is a skill that probably 1% of the NFL has. If he has that, then, I mean, it's just the only way this offense runs at 100%, right? I mean, if he's hesitant, or if he doesn't want to put that into the game like he really didn't do last year, you don't get to open up your full playbook. But at the same time, you know, you got to make sure that you got a healthy Kyler Murray out there. So it's a catch 22.
I don't know if these runs are part of the playbook. You know, the playbook is keeping the field spread, which would allow him to Swiss cheese the defense. Like, I get that part, but
you don't think there was a time during the offseason where Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray were watching film and Cliff says, "Look at this. See, this is where you tuck it and you run. This is where you get out and go."
Maybe, but also, Cliff is only as good as Kyler is.
Sure.
Goff is only as good as McVay is. It's obviously, I mean, this is Kyler's ship.
Yeah.
You know, he's the captain. So when it comes to this kind of stuff, and I know he's smart, and I know, and I've said this, he doesn't get touched by defenders, but Bo, it takes one. It takes one. He took one. He took a good lick against Washington. And you know what? Maybe it's a Darren Sproles thing. Darren Sproles was untouchable injury-wise until he tore his ACL with New Orleans on a freak play. I think it almost was non-contact. Because he's so compact and he has like DK Metcalf level body fat, maybe it's easier for him to not get injured because he's so compact. But when I look at what he's doing, although super exciting and it seems super cognizant of his surroundings at all times, it just seems like there may be another wrinkle you can put into the offense to get guys open to throw those 7 or 8 yards instead of running all the time.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe not.
I think you have a reasonable, rational thought that he would be is running as much as he has done in the last 2 weeks puts him in harm's way. But at the same token, you know, just his ability to avoid those hits, I mean, you got to imagine at some point, he's going to get unlucky and he's going to get squared up. I don't know. Some defenders going to be a blind squirrel, you know, find its nut and crush Kyler Murray. Hopefully that doesn't happen. He can avoid it. But, you know, as far as the odds are concerned, it's the NFL. Now, the Raiders, they improved to 2-0 last night. I lost a bet betting them and the Saints in the second half. I thought it was a lock. But the Raiders ran away with that one on Monday Night Football to open up their first home game in Vegas. They're behind the Arizona Cardinals at 13th in the power rankings. Cardinals come in at 12 now. They're up from 15 after their week one upset over the San Francisco 49ers. They're just behind the Pittsburgh Steelers, but they continue to be last in their division as far as the power rankings are concerned. The Niners are at 9th. The Los Angeles Rams are at 7. And the Seattle Seahawks are all the way up at 3. Now, you said this yesterday. You think the Cardinals, at best, are the third best team in their division.
Through 2 weeks.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, this could be – they haven't played anybody yet. You know, I mean, and it's – this is a far cry from, oh, get any win you can. I mean, this is a very rocky transition from feeling uncomfortable with every game the Cardinals play to feeling comfortable with them being favorites. You know, it's just a weird paradigm shift. The 49ers, fine. Their defense is great, okay? But the offense is bad. And yes, that was a signature win week one because we didn't know what they were going to do in week two, okay? Now winning in week two, you look back at week one, like, yeah, the Cardinals should have won that game, and they did. I just don't know power ranking. I just don't know. If you look at Seattle's offense, it seems like nobody's going to stop Seattle's offense. Because Pete Carroll finally decided to let Russell Wilson throw the ball more than 17 times a game. And if I have to hear somebody say, let Russell Wilson cook one more time, I'm going to explode. Use a separate adjective. Use a different one.
I mean,
and then
yeah.
Well, you know, go ahead.
I'm just going to say that the Arizona Cardinals deserve to be ahead of the San Francisco 49ers right now. Whether, yeah, 100%. Whether you're ranking for this week or whether you're ranking for the entire season, the Cardinals beat them at home, and the 49ers are at, like, it's sad to say, but I mean, it's an intensive care unit right now. I mean,
they're going to be a top five pick next year. Like, let's call a spade here. They're going to win three games this year, or four games.
We're looking at that game in late December. I mean, they're already in, it's unfortunate. We don't root for injuries here, but they're going to be without Nick Bosa. You know?
Yeah. Solomon Thomas.
Mozart. I always botch his name. Mozart. Yeah, and Jimmy G. I mean, and even then, their offense has not been impressive. You know, and the game's going to be in Glendale at State Farm Stadium. Real quick, I want to ask you a couple fact or fiction questions just so we can, you know, pay off the tease here. So I'll do two, okay?
Ready.
Isaiah Simmons will not play more than 50% of the snaps in any game going forward.
Fiction. It's time. It's like at some point there will be a time where, hopefully, Bo, the greatest situation is the Cardinals are well on their way to making the playoffs, and they can, you know, afford to give him a little bit more run. I say fiction. I say he will play 50% of the snaps in at least one or two games this year.
Okay. Christian Kirk and Andy Isabella's roles are simply big play threats and will average 2 to 4 catches a game.
I will say fiction as well, and the reason why is because Andy Isabella is part of that conversation, is part of that question. We saw Andy Isabella, well, I did because your DirecTV was out at the time, for about 3 minutes during one Andy. So just a little pulling the curtain back here. Bo texts me, he goes, hey, my DirecTV's on the my Sunday ticket's on the fritz. What happened after Washington scored? I said, Andy Isabella had a 17-yard in for a first down. He goes, BS. I'm like, he did. I mean, that was for, okay. And I digress. Andy Isabella on that route from the slot, that showed me that the fact that he was even on the field, not even that he got targeted, the fact that he was on the field and it wasn't just a go long where you always just tell the worst player on the team to go long when you're playing pickup football, Andy Isabella is going to be a more integral part of this offense moving forward. That one play showed me that. He can catch the ball. He led the nation in receiving yards. It doesn't matter where you went to college. Obviously, you can catch a football. So I would say fiction.
I think that they're playing the role of Will Fuller, and they're splitting it. And I think that at most they'll see 2 to 3 catches a game. One real quick, because I like it. Tight end Dan Arnold is a fantasy football sleeper bust in 2020. 4 catches through 2 games. Okay.
Fact.
46 yards.
Fact.
I think so, too.
This is something, it's just, I don't know if it's the Arizona Cardinals jersey. Tight ends haven't really been a thing. I mean, B.A. didn't really dig them. Max Williams being on the IR is this big story. I know blocking-wise, but listen, they need to make a firm decision to bring in a talented, established tight end or just forget about the position and add an extra wide receiver on the field. But fact.
It's going to wrap things up for us today. We're going to be joined by Matt Derry of Locked On Lions on tomorrow's podcast. Looking forward to that. Alex, it's always a pleasure. Enjoy your beatdown on social media. Follow him at Clancy's Corner. Follow me at Bob Rack. Follow the show at Lockdown AZ Cards. Please subscribe. Follow along wherever you find podcasts. Rate us. Tell us we're good or tell us we suck. We appreciate it either way. Have a good one.